all want to be blessed, don't we? Yeah, sure we do. But what about some of the crazy things that Jesus had to say about blessing? Blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek, those who mourn, the persecuted. It seems that what he means by blessing is different to what we want, and that mismatch can end up causing us a lot of pain. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today, we're kicking off a new series of messages called God's Abundant Blessing. Because God is a God who wants to bless you mightily, abundantly, powerfully. But his blessing comes on his terms, and it's not always what we expect. So let's head into God's Word to discover the blessing that he has ready and waiting for you. Because it's much better than anything that you or I could ever dream up. And look, do stay tuned, because in a few moments I'll be telling you about a free booklet that I'd love to send you. It's called, not surprisingly, God's Abundant Blessing. You know what I think is one of the hardest things about following Jesus? It's that God doesn't always dish up what I expect him to dish up. The hardest thing for me is that I, like most other people, well, I've grown up in a world where we want to be successful. The world's definition of success is all around us. We're influenced by our culture, and our culture tells us, society tells us, the advertising industry tells us that we're successful if we have lots of money, a nice house, a happy life, two cars, big flat TV screens dotted all around the place, and all that stuff. We're successful if life's going really well and people can look at us and say, wow, he's successful or she's successful. And we kind of equate this idea of success, an idea that's been so deeply ingrained in our nature day after day, with God's idea of blessing. We imagine that when God blesses us, then we'll be successful. If we're being successful, God must be blessing us. It goes without saying. Does that sound vaguely familiar? And today and over this next few weeks, we're going to chat about why that one thing, this idea of success and blessing, as it turns out, is one of the toughest things about following Jesus in this day and age. I wonder if in your heart of hearts, if you're one of these crazies who, like me, wants to follow Jesus, I wonder if in your heart of hearts, when you hear that word blessing, your default position, your default understanding, your instant response is to equate the idea of blessing with success. I think there's some of that in each one of us. We kind of know that Jesus said in this world we'd have tribulation, John 16, verse 33. We know, I guess, that following Jesus in theory is going to be hard. But surely that's for other people. You and me, we want to pull up next to this idea of success. We so want to equate God's blessing to success that, well, we kind of ignore the other bits about suffering, about persecution, about laying down our lives, about taking up our cross and following Jesus, because success is such a powerfully alluring concept. And when God talks about blessing, the two seem to go, well, so well together that before we know it, we've got our own little prosperity doctrine tucked away in our hearts. We go through all the religious motions on the outside, but on the inside, we firmly believe that God's going to bless us with success. Now, of course, sometimes he does, but no one's life is a complete success. There are people listening today whose marriages have fallen apart. There are people listening today who are serving the Lord in some far-flung dark hole of a place, and nothing they seem to be doing just at the moment is having any impact. There are people struggling through things at work, through relationships, through family breakdown. There are people who have loved ones who've just died. There are people that, and when you're in that place, you kind of want to scream out and say, God, blessing, how dare this joker on radio talk to me about God's blessing? I am not blessed by God. Look at the mess and the pain that I'm in. We all go through trials. We do. And now I want to come right back to why this is one of the hardest things for me in following Jesus. And I suspect for you too. It's because deep down, we expect God's blessing to equal worldly success. And when God doesn't stump up with the success that we're expecting, then it feels like everything we believe about God, everything we've struggled for in following Jesus, is like a lie, like a false promise. You and I know, when we stop and think about it, that a mismatch of expectations is always going to cause pain and conflict. If you expect me to do something or say something or behave in a certain way or deliver something, and I don't meet that expectation, you're going to be disappointed or angry or any number of other things with me, right? And if I do it over and over again, if I miss your expectations over again, eventually you're going to get really, really cheesed off with me. And that's where a lot of people are with Jesus right now. Well, I tried following Jesus, but what? Well, but he didn't deliver what I expected. It was hard. I still had to suffer. I feel like he abandoned me. We all go through that. I've been walking with the Lord now almost 2 decades. A good proportion of that has been studying and preaching God's word. If anyone should be over that sense of disappointment, it should be me, right? And yet, when I have to walk through trials, and some of them go on for a long time, for years, the thing my natural me always wants to do is to act up and struggle with the fact that I'm going through some trial or another. Why can't everything just fall into place for once? Why can't things be easier than what they are? So this series of messages that we're kicking off today is called God's Abundant Blessing. And it's all about God's abundant blessing, but it's going to strike at the very heart of this mismatch of expectations. And we're going to do that by unpacking exactly what it is that Jesus had to say about God's blessing. So let's have a listen. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he came up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you." Now, forget that perhaps you may have heard that many times before, and let's just take at face value what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, you are blessed if you're poor in spirit, if you're mourning, if you're meek, if you're persecuted, and all that stuff. Does that sound anything like the world's version of success to you? No, me neither. Obviously, Jesus has something different in mind. And since he was talking to his disciples when he said this stuff, his closest followers, those who prepared not only to listen to his sermons, but to model their lives on him under his mentorship, then my hunch is this is something we need to get our minds around. What Jesus means about blessing, because his blessing is utterly amazing. It's not what we expected it to be. His blessing is amazing because it's for real. He doesn't sugarcoat stuff. He's in the business of speaking his blessing right into the middle of the stuff that we're going through in our lives. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. I just want to take a moment during this short break to share something truly important with you. God is a God who wants to bless us abundantly. He just is. But laying hold of that blessing, well, that's not something that we always do all that well. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet called God's Abundant Blessing. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you actually experience the amazing blessings of God in your life. To request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com, and you'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. But this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available, so don't miss out. Again, the web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Now, sometimes life is cruddy. We feel as though we should be blessed by God, but to be honest, life's just not like that. And so we end up asking some questions like, where is God? Does he really love me? Then we try the whole arrogance and self-sufficiency thing, but it turns out that that's empty and hollow as well. So if God is a God that wants to bless us, and he is, what sort of blessing does he have in mind? What I love about Jesus is that he doesn't kind of pussyfoot around. He doesn't shy away from telling us the truth about things in our lives that other people wouldn't dare to broach with us. Sometimes we need to be told just the way things are. When you or I have something really important wrong, then a real friend is someone who fronts up and tells us so. And that's exactly what Jesus was telling his disciples in the much-famed Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5. And interesting, the chapter before is the record of Jesus calling his closest 12 disciples out of the thousands of people, the huge crowds who were following him. And right off the back of that comes this Sermon on the Mount. Now, it's kind of hard to see exactly who that sermon was for. Was it for all the people who'd gathered on that hillside to hear him? Or was it just for his closest inner circle of disciples? Have a listen to how Matthew kicks off his account of this event. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It's not quite clear, is it? But what is clear is that this dissertation is meant for his disciples. Whether they were the inner group of 12 or a much wider group, a disciple literally is a learner. So it's for the people who want to follow Jesus to learn from him and model their lives on his life. And the very first thing that Jesus has to say about blessing, what was it again? "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now that right there brings the old ego down with a thud. It's a great place to start because it talks about how we see ourselves. What Jesus seems to be saying here is that his blessing isn't for those who are full of themselves, for those who think they're really someone, but for those who are real about who they are without him. Now, we could easily make the mistake here of thinking, well, that's it. That confirms it. This Christianity thing is just a crutch for losers. You have to be poor in spirit. You have to be somehow into self-deprecation. See, religion is all about treading on people, manipulating people, making them feel small. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here, because that's not what he was into. In fact, the religious leaders of the day were into that form of religion, and Jesus tore shreds off them for being like that. So what does he mean, poor in spirit? What's that all about? Who are the poor in spirit? John Wesley puts it this way: they are the unfeignedly penitent, they who are truly convinced of sin, who see and feel the state they are in by nature, deeply sensible of their sinfulness, guiltiness, and helplessness. The people, in other words, who truly recognize that they've fallen short of the glory of God and that they are totally, completely, and utterly helpless to do anything about it to save themselves from the consequences. I wonder if you're one of those people. For a long time, I wasn't. For a long time, I thought of myself as being something of a hotshot, clever, capable, competent, self-sufficient. God? Who needs God? And what Jesus is saying here to his disciples, what he's saying to you and me now, is that those with the attitude of who needs God, those who are full of themselves, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And as a result, they won't be blessed. Every time I fall short of God's glory, every time I let him down, every time I sin in my life, I'm so disappointed with myself. I just know that in and of myself, I can't make it right. I'd like to, but I can't. I know the right thing to do. I just can't seem to do it. It seems to me to be one of those basic principles of life that whenever I want to do good, whenever I want to honor God, sin kind of sneaks up behind me and it's ready to pounce. And so I, for one, keep short accounts with God. I go and ask him to forgive me, not because I'm a great bloke, but because Jesus died for me and paid the price of my sin on the cross. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. It means to be real about how we truly are, who we are, what state we're in, and what's going on in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Jesus put it another way when he was talking to a church, Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. He said, "You say, 'I'm rich, I've prospered, I need nothing.' You don't realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." The ones who are truly blessed are the ones who recognize who they truly are, the ones who are prepared to nail their wretched pride and their false sense of self-sufficiency and success to the cross and go before God and say, "God, I'm not good enough. That's why I'm coming to ask for your forgiveness in Jesus' name. Not because I deserve it, but because Jesus died to purchase it and I believe in Jesus." So, does that mean that I'm a loser, that I'm somehow less of a person than someone who says they have it all together? Am I? That's what the critics would say. But what Jesus is saying here to the critics is that they're delusional. They're kidding themselves. They're claiming something about themselves that's not true. "You say I'm rich. I've prospered. I don't need anything." You don't realize you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. My friend, if you've never taken that step of admitting the truth about yourself, to yourself, and to God, today's the day, the very day to do it. And if you're someone who's admitted it, and today again you find yourself falling short of God's glory, then today is the day to go before God and admit it again. Why? Because blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's the only way we get into the kingdom of heaven, by trusting in Jesus. And there quite simply is no greater blessing on the planet or off it than that.
I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, let me ask you this. Would you like to draw closer to God into a rich, intimate, dynamic relationship with Jesus? Well, that's what our free daily e-devotional, Fresh, is all about. Words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each and every day. You can read it, you can listen to the audio, or you can watch the daily 3-minute video. It's completely up to you. A short daily devotional to take you closer to God by getting you deeper into His Word. God's Word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free. For instant access, stop by our mobile-friendly website right now, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign up right there at the top of the homepage. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. You know, when we lose someone or something that we dearly love, a husband, a wife, a parent, a child, perhaps even a job or a whole career, it's natural that we should mourn the loss. In fact, psychologists tell us that it's incredibly important that we should mourn the loss for our longer-term well-being. But in the middle of that time of mourning, it doesn't feel as though God wants to bless us. But let me tell you, nothing could be further from the truth.
Jesus went on to say, "Blessed are those who mourn." When we lose a loved one, or when we're retrenched, or when a fire or a flood destroys our house, or whatever other loss or hurt would cause us to mourn. Because when we're mourning a loss, it's at that time in our lives, perhaps more so than any other time, that we experience a sense of disappointment with God's promises of blessing. Here's what Jesus talks about in his Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Now, if ever something that Jesus said seems crazy, this would have to be it. Think back to the last time you were mourning a loss. What was it? Was it a death? Was it a breakdown of a relationship? Was it retrenchment or unemployment? Or what was it? You know immediately what it was because you remember the pain. You remember the loss. You remember that sense of hopelessness and feeling completely alone. You can remember how dark and cold and lonely that place felt. Even if perhaps you had some people around you to comfort you, you can remember that, can't you? So can I ask you, right in the middle of the last time where you were mourning some great loss, you were grieving, were you happy? Did you feel blessed? I didn't think so. And yet Jesus has the temerity to say, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Now let's unpick that just quickly so we understand the full force of what he's saying. Firstly, that word blessed. Now, there are a few Greek words used in the New Testament which are translated into the English word blessed or blessed. And in many respects, this is the strongest one. It's the most direct one. It literally means happy. In fact, some of the older translations of the Bible, you may have heard it put this way, "Happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And please note with me that that word happy is set in the present tense. So right in the middle of that time of loss and grieving and mourning, Jesus is saying you can be and you should be happy because you will be, that's future tense, you will be comforted. Let me ask you something. Can that be true? I mean, come on, really. Grieving is grieving. It's a process. There are different stages of grieving that are well understood by psychologists and counselors. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. It's the traditional model. Although there are some variations around that. But pretty much anyone who's ever been through grief and mourning will recognize those. It's really, really tough. So is it really possible for us to stick this label happy right in the middle of that? I've had one major episode of loss in my life. There have been other ones smaller along the way, but one really significant one. And it was in the middle of the darkest period of my life, that time of mourning, that time of loss, that time of desperation, that I met Jesus. And I can attest to the fact that in the middle of the darkest days of my life, what Jesus says is true. I'll get to that, my personal experience, in a moment. But over the years, I've spoken with many, many people who've been through times of mourning. In fact, as I read and answer many emails we receive here at Christianity Works in response to these radio messages, one of the most common questions that I find myself responding to is this: how does what you had to say the other day relate to this particular loss or grief in my life? Now, it's not always those words, but that's kind of what lies behind the heart of many questions. And it's my great privilege to be able to speak God's love and God's truth into those situations in people's lives. And most often the response I receive after that is this sense of revelation and comfort at the powerful way in which God's word ministers into people's lives at that difficult time of mourning. You know what really strikes me? Without God's word, apart from knowing the truth, we're so completely and utterly lost. We're in this dark place, and there seems no way out until the light of Jesus shines into that place. And all of a sudden, we can see and feel and experience his warmth. For me, it so often, in fact, almost always, begins with knowing the truth in the middle of our mourning and grief. My friend, if you're mourning a loss right now, please listen to the truth. You are blessed because Jesus means to comfort you. That's the truth. And in a very real way, I remember in the darkest places of my life, during mourning and grief, during that process of bereavement, it went on for a good many months. It was awful. There were so many days when it felt like I was being torn apart. And yes, there were some well-meaning friends around me who tried to comfort me. But when you're in that place, and if you're in that place right now, I think you'll relate to this, nothing other people say seems to be able to make a difference, seems to make even a dent. It's like this black shield around us and no one can get through. It was like the grief had put this impenetrable, invisible barrier between me and every other human being. It's the best way I can describe it. But in that inky blackness, I decided to start reading my Bible. It was a weird response, I know, but that's what I did. In that dark place, I started to pray. And I was totally bowled over. The very presence of God himself was palpable. God was present in that place with me. And the fact that there was a shield around me that no one else could get through, and here I was in my dark place and only God could get in, made God's presence even more powerful and wonderful. And I look back on that with great joy. He encouraged me. I discovered later the word that Jesus used to describe the Holy Spirit to his disciples when they were in fear for their lives literally means encourager and comforter. And that's exactly what God was to me in that place. It's kind of bizarre to look back on because the pain and the mourning went on, as I said, for a long time. But in the middle of that was God, very real, very present, to comfort me through. And I came out of that time a totally different person. Can I tell you, far from perfect, right? But totally different. Perhaps you've heard me say this before, but whilst I wouldn't wish that much pain on my worst enemy, I wouldn't swap that time in my life for all the tea in China. Pain is never easy. Mourning and grief are never easy. They're not meant to be. But whatever their cause, if you'll just sit still before God, we will discover the greatest blessing of all. See, God himself is the greatest blessing of all. God himself is the one who comes and consoles us in our grief, who sits with us in the dark place, who shines light and warmth into our hearts in the middle of that inky blackness of mourning. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." I just pray that you'll be blessed in that way in your life. If you're mourning right now, or maybe there's going to be a time of mourning that comes later on in your life. You know, we all want our lives to go along happy, don't we? We all want our lives to go along, everything's going well, but it's not like that. Accidents happen. People die. People leave us. People betray us. All sorts of things happen in life. And when they happen, and when we're in that dark place, I pray that as I've spoken God's word into your life right now, you will remember this one verse, and the Holy Spirit will bring it back to you just at the time that you need it. This is what Jesus said. These are Jesus' very own words. Remember, this ain't Bernie saying this to you. This is Jesus saying this to you and me, to the disciples of his. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." My friend, to me, this is one of the most powerful messages I've ever been able to share with anyone, anywhere, because I remember so vividly my time of mourning. And I remember how much I needed someone to tell me this and how much I needed the Holy Spirit to write this truth on my heart to get me through. Because me talking about it is not going to make a difference. The only difference is going to happen when the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and writes it on your heart. So let me say it again, that you may never, ever, ever forget it. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Well, that's pretty much all we have time for today. But before I go, there's something very important that I need to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer in a rich, dynamic, powerful relationship with Jesus. Because God is a God who wants to bless you mightily. With all my heart, I want to see you walking in that blessing. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant, and life-changing Bible teaching available at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you draw closer to God. So dive into the Media Lounge to watch our weekly Christianity Works TV broadcast or the daily fresh devotional videos. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can filter the content to quickly lay hold of just the teaching that you need for what you're traveling through today. Remember, everything on the site is free, including that booklet I mentioned earlier, God's Abundant Blessing, and the fresh daily e-devotional. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact in your life to bring you His joy, His peace, and His power. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time next week, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.